Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison, joined as always by my co-hosts, Mike McGoy, Chris Epps, and Mike Rassay. What up, fellas?
What's up?
Yo.
It's March 31st. I want to say RIP Nip Hussle, the great. Want to honor his legacy as always. Shout him out at the top of the show. We got another week in crypto activity. Who in here got a Azuki? Nobody? Is that silence from the crowd?
Nobody has an Azuki.
Okay.
It's like launching right in.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta play Go Fish with the DAO to know.
Right now it's a fucking Azuki. Me and our friend Vince just stood outside for like an hour and a half last night to go into Nightingale, to go into the party for verified Azuki holders.
Yeah.
And I was waiting to go in line because we were verified, we were RSVP. And then like literally there's probably like 100 to 200 people in line who all got like denied because of capacity.
Wait, so you were verified?
Yeah.
So you're a holder. Oh, you don't want to dox yourself. Sorry.
I don't want to dox anybody, myself, my friends.
Your friends or anybody. Somebody you may know, somebody in your circle may be a holder.
There are holders there are enjoyers.
Yeah.
And affiliates. And all of us were denied, even with the RSVP.
So have you guys been to any NFT LA or any NFT events? Anybody?
No.
Events? That was the first one I was going. I mean, that was the first party that I was going to check out. There's one or two tonight. Might go to. I'm still deciding. I went to NFT LA Monday, Tuesday. Like Monday was just registration, but we were shooting some content. And Tuesday we were shooting content for Droid Heads. And it was pretty interesting. Not many people that I know from crypto or and from LA are going to the actual, you know, the conference. They're going to parties and stuff outside and around after. So hanging out and just linking up.
What is the conference and where is it?
It is in LA, at LA Live or Convention Center, and it is apparently just a bunch of panels. It's not even worth the money. Everyone who like walked out, because we were doing like little interviews, Everyone who walked out, we talked about it, they're like, yeah, we wasted money. And there's a lot of people who are just out front, like showing off their art and not going in, or people who have, you know, projects who weren't actually going in, but there. And then linking up outside of the convention.
So they charge
literally a bunch of panels. Mm-hmm.
How much they charging?
It was like a reverse Dutch auction. So it started at like $300 like 2 months ago or something. And it just went up like every 8 days or every like week or some shit like that. It's weird. It went up to like $800, I think, like the last week it was available.
So what's up with the airdrop?
I don't have nothing to talk about with Azuki, man.
Yeah, fuck Azuki.
I had one and I sold it.
Fuck Azuki.
All right.
Yeah, in line, it was a great, the timing was amazing in the line, dude. Like we were all like waiting there, everyone's getting tired, people around us were talking shit, and I keep hearing people talk about airdrop, and I look at my phone and I see Twitter, I'm like, oh yeah, they just dropped airdrop some shit 10 minutes ago, and then 31 seconds after that when I refreshed it was we're at capacity, we're trying to figure out something. And so then we all,
it's interesting because like, you know, everyone wants to talk about the pump and, you know, their bags pumping and all that shit, but very few actually get a chance to like make it to like a mountaintop with any of this. Mm-hmm. Like, so no one really understands like the rise up going from like one ETH to 20 ETH, like, and where all of that in between space and all of that anxiety and like what you're dealing with on the way up. And then if you, you know, hold or sell and the shit like starts pumping back and it's like the FOMO, it's like of selling something and at the, you know, the floor price is now at, you know, what you sold at, and no one really speaks toward that.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody talks about the top of the mountain.
But the reality is, bro, that a lot of people, most people will not get there because people cannot fucking stay on the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to go, you're going to sell at 3 ETH.
Right.
You're going to sell at 6 ETH, you know?
Right.
6. Like, your balls aren't big enough to make it to 20.
To make it hold from 1 to 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, holding from 1 to 20 is tough. I've done it once, and that shit was tough. And I didn't sell at 20. I sold at like 16 or some shit. Because I was like, I'm gonna milk this more and raise the price of it, you know. And I wish I sold it at 20 right when I got to 20. But then again, like, now I wish I didn't. I wish I still had that NFT. You know, it's not at 20 anymore. It's probably about to triple up from what it was last year.
Yeah, that's how I felt about trading some of my trades. You know, a lot of the good trades that I made, I got out because of anxiety, and I could have made a lot more if I would have been more patient and just waited a day. You know, like specifically, like, you know, one of the big trades we did with Jamal, like I had a trade going at the same time. And if I would have waited literally 24 hours, you know, the difference was probably 50 grand. You know, and there was no external reason for me to pull out other than my anxiety and not wanting to lose the money and not wanting to be, you know, just on the wrong side of it. And yes, yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, the people who held the fucking, you know, obviously the apes or anything that's going up in that, you know, anything that's going past. Yeah, Bitcoin, right? Yeah, obviously the Bitcoin maxis who were really there from pre-2017 or even the guys that were around post-crash, like the people that held through that crash, like, and think about how stressed out people got when we got this crash, right? In May last year, like, it didn't even crash the way it crashed back then. Like, you know, people would have dumped tremendously. So it's just crazy. Yeah, I applaud anybody who's been able to over 10x something that's been over a 6-month hold. You know, it's a miracle.
And that's a long time too. Like the one that I had, it was a 1-month thing. Yeah. You know, Azuki went from 1 to 10 in like a month, maybe, right, Mike, or some shit. Like, mine was cryptodes, and that was pretty relatively quick because that was like the end of the bull run, and that happens a lot. Like, this is the beginning of a run, so I feel like a lot of people who are already buying that moment, like, know what's happening, and they know it's going to be a good month or two, because when things are moving quickly and ramping up, like, once they start going from 1 to 20 in a month's time, that's also a big signal of, like, we're getting frothy or, like, a bubble. Yeah. It's like a little bit of a bubble. That's the other thing too. It's like, what time, like, cause the project, the cryptos is a great project. One of the, it's in the other side, metaverse game with BAYC, but they came out at like the real tippy top. Like when we bought that art box, we're talking about, like, we bought that at the real tippy top. And so it looks good, you know, for a month, and you still have that same feeling like you had in the beginning of the bull run. You're still like super, you're still euphoric and cocky. Anything else, the same thing. So it's hard to, and then that all fucking hindsight also is, yeah, it's funny. You have to have like a strategy. I think that's one thing Mike always talks about with me, like, or brings up in here, is the stop loss thing. And keeping to that, because we always like, bro, I tell myself all the time, I'm gonna do this next time. I'm gonna do this. We're gonna buy it back. We're gonna reinvest it, and you know, you're investing into five other pieces of shit instead of the thing that you know is gonna be great. Just take some time.
It's hard to manage. It's hard to manage your portfolio when it's all these, when you're sticking and moving, man.
To keep track or remember, bro. So much shit that I always forget about. We watch or talk about. I'll forget about I was liquid and I should have gone into PulseX. And I forgot about that shit like four different times in the chances I had I could have done it, you know. It's a lot going on. Shit. I mean.
Yeah, what's going on with your man Richard Hart right now?
It's all right, Chris. I was gonna say, listen, it's all right, man. The Dow is well represented in that pulse drop. Don't worry about it.
That's good. I mean, are you delegate? You're a delegator?
Yes. I'm down, but no, this week, if you're asking, there was a very interesting debate between Richard Hart and a Bitcoin maxi. I don't even know the guy's name. I don't even care, really, but apparently he's supposed to be something or kind of important in the space or important with Bitcoin. And I would advise anyone and everyone to listen to that debate because, you know, if for nothing else, you're going to hear very nuanced approaches, very nuanced disagreements between Bitcoin holders, between Bitcoin maxis, and between someone who was a former Bitcoin maxi who then decided that, you know, he wanted to make some adjustments and make some change, then put out his own product. So it's very informative. A lot of like the conversation, a lot of the debates then went to like back end, you know, dev technical stuff that really, you know, I mean, it's good to know, I guess, how the clock works if that's how you care about it, as opposed to just what time it is.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't want to know how the clock actually works.
Exactly.
They just want to get that time. They want to ask for the time when they have the watch on their fucking wrist.
And so with that being said, according to Mr. Hart, testnet's up now. Mainnet should be going live for the next month.
Oh shit. We loaded up. Might have to get a load.
Pause.
I don't want to make it NFT bros, even though NFT LA is going on currently.
Well, we can talk about how Bitcoin's dumping right now and it's all over.
Is it dump? What do you mean it's all over? We just had the biggest.
It's this all really over. On Twitter right now, it's all over. You know,
show me the X's and show me the most important topics. NFTs is number one.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. I digress. I would just say there's definitely something called macro finance at play right now. That's kind of important, but you know, we could discuss the JPEGs. I'm here for it, I guess.
We're done with the JPEGs. We're done. We NFT.
Let's JPEG it up. Let's continue these
two. Inflate.
Let's talk about inflation and EAT.
Well, no, listen, I do have a question about floor prices, and I do want to get back to Mike's Bapes Diverse investment, his Nostradamus investment, before we leave the NFT platform.
Okay.
So currently ETH is at 3,200. I think it got as high as 3,450 or something in the last couple of days. And I noticed a lot of the floor prices were going down. Invisible Friend floor prices, 5E, 5.1 or something. Some other floors dropped with, you know, the bigger collections. Is that a natural thing when the price of ETH rises? Does the floor price automatically just go down? Is that the correlation I should be making?
Yeah, I mean, I think in past cycles, but Chris has talked about starting to like be a non-correlation between ETH pumping and like NFTs floors rising or falling.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah.
Generally, yes. It's correlated.
Yes. So on the last episode, Mike, you told us about Bape NFTs and how you were interested in them. And you grabbed a couple.
Yep. Chris Epps call.
Please. Come on, Nico.
The floor price is currently close to 2 ETH?
Or no, it's at 1.3. Like,
oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
So it dropped from like 2.7 back to down to 1.3.
Yeah.
Within this past week, in a week's time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't worry me.
Yeah.
And when I, on a project like Bape, where, like I said before, like the IP is just so strong, like worldwide. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for, like, I'm not looking for a 0.6 to like 2.7 flip. Like, right. I'm expecting that floor to, at some point, maybe touch like a 4 to 5 ETH.
Mm-hmm.
The chance that I may get a rare one or a rare one, you know, that all dictates like if it's a little above floor pricing. But that's why I didn't end up selling when the market had pumped on them. Although, like, I could have and like just re-entered the market with a couple ETH profit.
Right. Now, the big question for me is, when reveal?
I haven't been keeping up with the Discord or anything.
Yeah.
Like Chris said, like the market as a whole is looking pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much energy, man, trying to micromanage and focus on like the micro details. It's like I check it every day, you know. I'll see when it reveals, but you know, being in the Discords and all that shit, that's a lot of energy, man.
Is that a common thing that because I'm not, you know, in a lot of Discords. I have my experience with the weather report, but and following Invisible Friends. But is that a common thing for them to release a collection and then have an extended waiting period before reveal?
This happens. It just depends. Yeah,
this is a little bit longer than usual.
Yeah,
it's been a week and a half of like nothing. So,
right,
I don't know. But also, Takashi Murakami, his project went live on the whitelist tip. If you were whitelisted, you could mint. So I think it's we're kind of like getting primed for like a big month or so,
right? Like
for the, you know, it's a lot of good projects. I mean, Takashi shit is already at like almost 7 ETH floor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Bape, I don't really know what's going on with their reveal. But I have faith in it.
Yeah, let it happen. Go with the flow.
Yeah.
For sure.
Great call by Chris Epps.
I hope so.
Me too. Because it could, you know, pop. And the other, it could deflate too. Like, which I don't see that happening, but hey, you never know.
Right. And it kind of got me thinking about, like, in terms of, because I look at it in the trading terms or just in terms of like percentages, you know, scalping and things like that. Like, what about that activity makes you not want to treat it on a strictly percentage basis and kind of keep that gamble going? Because when it goes to 2 ETH, you know, you could easily say, hey, I can get out right now, you know, and just, I got my percentage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what about that process makes you kind of forego the solid mathematics on it and just kind of still go with a more risk?
I have a target.
Yeah.
With, you know, that's all kind of like subjective and like theoretical to right. like that target. But like, even though it was, that's a very healthy pump, and I have had two of them. So like
mm-hmm.
1.2 to over 5 ETH, like,
yeah.
Great, great profit, 4X, 400%.
Yeah.
But, you know, just, you know, like I factor in, you know, like the who's behind it and like what it represents culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when I look at the bombs or, you know, like I think Bape is just from a streetwear level and just like a pop culture level, it, you know, holds like a very special place in people's hearts. And I think like specifically like a age group of people that are participating in this mm-hmm. and it like crosses continents, you know, like Bape is probably just as big in Asia as it is in US, if not bigger. So
yeah.
And definitely for as much shit as I talk about NFTs, I definitely would have gotten a Bape drop if I'd have gone about it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like it is like a no-brainer, but more so to your question, Jason, what made me forego that percentage, just like it didn't hit my mark yet.
Oh, gotcha.
It didn't hit my mark yet of exit. So
right.
Yeah. But sometimes you have to like the last pump that we seen, I had something that reached like a 4 ETH floor from like. And my point of exit was, my target exit was 5 ETH.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ended up topping off at 4. So it was like, it also is like reading the market in mm-hmm. terms of like, we have like an aggressive pump, like it did with my capsule from 1.2 to 4. It's just been pumping hard. It's like, how much more can it really pump?
Right.
You know, like, so it's kind of seeing the market conditions and the market movement accounting for that too. The Bape thing was just like a weekend pump.
Mm-hmm.
Everything like kind of just got like a big pump, or like a sizable pump, and then kind of like died down. So I'm looking for like the real aggressive parabolic shit.
Right. Well, hopefully it's coming. I hope this is one of those projects. It'll be interesting. I'm really interested to see the reveal and what the art looks like, and obviously what the rare ones look like. Yeah, you know, I hope that you get a rare and it's a very successful trade for you.
But like, we can't bring up the Bathing Ape NFT and not bring up this new Nego album.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's
I love that shit. I love that shit, bro. I like at least 4 to 5 songs on it. At least.
Yeah.
That's what you're smashing. That's what you're smashing for to get from the valley to wherever, to LA or whatever, in 13 minutes, right?
Yeah, man. I had that ASAP going. I had that Pusha T song on there. It's crazy. The clip song on there. Oh my god.
Yeah. The gun one is pretty good.
Yeah. No, it's dope. But it's also interesting how Bape has kind of sustained without Nego, and you know, is still revered. Maybe not to the level it was, but it's still, you know, people fuck with it heavy.
I keep forgetting we have a store. I passed by it again yesterday. I was like, oh shit, that's right there on Fairfax. I forgot about that.
I don't really know how I feel about that store, because that's the A-Ape store. And it's like it's kind of like, I won't say knockoff, but it's just like the baby brother thing that doesn't really have the same appeal.
Yeah.
To most people.
Like they're ready to wear compared to the cut and sewn.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But yeah, shouts out to Nego, man. That was dope.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
For him to put that project out, Pharrell, of course, being a part of it. Pharrell has the Tom Sachs NFT as his avatar, as his PFP. But it's interesting because I don't really know how much has that project even really pumped.
That project is pretty big, actually. A few of my friends were in it from the beginning and built the full rockets and got their rockets delivered to them recently. One of the guys, NFTLA, I met up with some of the fools from my Telegram.
Mm-hmm.
I've known for like 3 years just online. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the guys I met up with last night, we went to that Azuki party. I saw his rocket, like he got his rocket shipped to him like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And I think they're launching. He's part of the launch in Miami they're going to do.
Oh, wow.
They went up pretty, like, when they were being built and it started and when they were being, like, formed, the rockets, like, everything, they were going up pretty well. Like, Budweiser bought one and has one as their PFP on Twitter and shit.
Yeah.
I feel like they're probably, I haven't looked at them at all much of recent, they're probably pretty stable because it's such a big name and it's a pretty cool project overall. Like, you make these rockets, you have to get all these NFTs and make one NFT, and then you can launch it if you are lucky.
Yeah,
it's like I saw the they're pretty big.
I wanted to talk about that thing that Mike brought up in the chat earlier about ExxonMobil and them mining Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's smart.
What do you guys think about that? Or Mike, do you want to kind of give a descriptor of what's going on with that?
I don't really know. Like, in full detail, honestly, by the way, watching that debate between Hart and the other guy, I learned something else. Apparently, they're taking the methane from, I guess, like facilities that basically they can't utilize and converting that into some type of energy source that can mine Bitcoin.
Mm. Wow.
Right. Right. Heavy yeah. shit. I don't know if this is like necessarily like a great thing, honestly.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's not. It's great for it helps with the America and governments and companies and that whole narrative of mass adoption shit and using, you know, natural resources for something that could be more positive than adding more carbon to the environment.
Right.
But you're still adding more carbon to the environment, I'm guessing, in that process, no matter what.
Right.
Yeah, it's.
But they're just converting the carbon, I guess, in their mind. But hey, now this kind of goes back to something that I was introduced to you guys.
I was about to say Klima.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I wonder if at some point this plays some type of factor, or they then at some point enter, what is it, the carbon credit market, the voluntary carbon credit market.
Yeah.
Not the involuntary market.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference.
Yeah. Which is a super interesting thing. I never heard about it until we're talking about Klima, which is a DeFi protocol that came and went and heard a lot, but it had a really cool idea, which it was using these tokens called BCT, which was, I forgot what the B was for, but it's carbon credit tokens, basically for companies to basically get, you know, to cash out or to get a reimbursement on their carbon footprint. And they buy these shares or tokens, or now they have it in tokens for crypto, but they've had this for a minute, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, so they buy these things to offset their costs and basically, you know, save or make some money. And there's like a yield farming protocol on Polygon or Matic that the DAO went into and lost a good amount of money on. I was in it personally too, but it's a super cool idea of getting some money back and reinvesting your offset into the crypto market, which is the thing, or into the market in general. I don't know what the point of those things are still. I always felt like it's kind of a Ponzi.
I mean, as most things are on the planet, but like the thing that was interesting for me was that this was a voluntary market. And so to use the example of like LVMH, Louis Vuitton, Moët Hennessy, they come out every year and they're going to say, hey, you know, due to global warming, we want to cut our carbon emissions by X amount. Everyone's like, oh, okay, great. It's a nice little press release. Cool. Awesome. But then also, so if they don't hit that number, they then tax themselves. And where they tax or where the tax goes is to this voluntary carbon credit market. And we're talking like to the tune of like billions of dollars on an annual basis. And so these markets are extremely liquid. And basically they found a way to yield farm, like he said, basically like yield farm. If LVMH doesn't hit their goal, then they tax themselves. That tax then goes somewhere. You can yield farm that tax, then pay yourself on that in the form of that same carbon coin.
Mm-hmm. Give yourself a reach around. Yeah.
Give yourself a reach. And it's incredible because, I mean, they basically have found a way to quantify pollution.
Yeah.
And then to monetize.
Crazy part. Yeah.
And then to monetize pollution. You know, I think that was, again, one of those ideas that, if for nothing else, I feel like that idea was worth me entering that group just to even understand that. You know what I mean?
We should have seen the signs when the WeWork guy started shilling it on TV.
Oh.
Have you guys seen the WeWork?
I got to finish it. I saw like the first two.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it yet. But yeah, that's an interesting situation with an overvalued company.
Dude, he is good, bro. I believed him though. If that's how he really pulled that chick, he just willed that shit into fruition. which is amazing.
Well, it's crazy how, you know, like all of these office spaces and, you know, post-pandemic commercial real estate, like in general, like what's going to happen with that, you know?
I actually live next to a guy who is a commercial real estate broker from Newport. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this. I know he has rich parents. Okay. Mm-hmm. I do know that. But I'm going to say that car has been parked. That Range Rover has been parked very frequently over the last 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see a lot of business being had in that space. Even right. though I do hear that some people say it's not too bad, I can't see it.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those markets that is not for the evolution of what's going on right now.
Exactly.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that changes. There's been a rash of documentaries about, you know, startups and kind of like these kind of like social network type movies or shows. Like they got the super pumped one about the Uber guy. I'm wondering, when are we going to get a crypto documentary about
that was actually a subject. I know I had a feeling that was going to be brought up, and I was going to say, no, I haven't watched it yet, but on Netflix. Oh, I walked into my dad's living room and saw that him and my stepmom were watching it.
The crypto one?
Yeah, on Netflix. There is one.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that pop up. So what is it? I'm going to have to look it up. But
I think this was a part of a exchange scammer, a guy who, I think this was about Quadriga, mm-hmm. something like that, or one of these exchanges like a few years back that like got hacked, or like the guy did an exit scam.
Yeah.
The guy died.
Yes. It died, I think. It's Quadriga. It's called Trust No One. I'm getting pop-ups. Trust No One, The Hunt for the Crypto King.
And Beanie was apparently in this Quadriga shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That crypto Twitter guy who got canceled for being a boomer.
Yeah, well, he came back recently.
Who knows? Oh yeah, I have seen his account like pop up on my feed.
Yeah, he came back.
Living in the truth or what?
I don't know.
If you guys don't mind, I wanted to read a message that was sent to me. I think you guys will appreciate this, NFT bros. So someone sent me a DM today, actually, a very close friend of mine who's been living on the East Coast. And she said, also, my girls are excited to hear about NFTs. They're all turning 40 this year and want to finally figure out how to invest their money. They had been paying off their student loans so aggressively, the pandemic gave them some breathing room. So that's also who's about to enter the NFT market.
There's
a lot of people. There's a lot of people, older people. I guess we're kind of in that close to that group. But you know, the Gen X wants to move into the space, and you know, they have a kind of certain level of enthusiasm about it. You know, obviously women as well. People have kind of moved away from the feeling that it's all a scam, because it's such a big part of what's going on in daily conversations, what's being fed to them through advertisements. The idea that this is all a scam is not really as prevalent as it was a year or 6 months ago. But the fucked up part is, these are all still new investors. So they're going to have to go through the rigors that we all just went through of learning about the movements of the market and how things actually work, you know? And a lot of people do not have the patience. We barely have the patience to deal with this shit, you know? And right. We love this shit. Like, this is our shit. And it's just going to be interesting. Like, I appreciate you sharing that message, Mike, because that's something that I think about a lot, is like, what is really good? It's like how I feel about like sports betting being like legalized everywhere. Like, and even how you were talking to me about like margin trading before I got into it. It's like, if you know something about something and then you realize like a lot of people are about to get into it, you're like, what's going to happen when everybody tries crack for the first time?
Exactly. Exactly. Especially after you just watched, you know, or have been in the den yourself, yeah. Like Chris Rock.
A lot of people are going to get hurt. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to avoid. And I'm glad that someone else said that and not me. And so, you know, the part that sucks is I feel like this is going to be, I don't necessarily care for NFTs, even though I have one as my PFP, like ironically. But I could see how this could be a great onboarding experience or onboarding on-ramp to crypto. Yeah. And so if they have to get to Ethereum through NFTs, because they have to only buy NFTs with Ethereum, then I'm still happy with them having a little bit of Ethereum right there at some point. Because to me, that's still better than, you know, not having Ethereum.
Right.
Did you read that article I sent? Wait, did I send it? Oh, I didn't send it to the chat. My boy.
Thanks, Chris.
Send it to the wrong chat. The dude, I'm sure you've heard of him. Mike, what's his name again? Arthur Hayes, the guy who made BitMEX, or half of BitMEX. You know, he had an article today called Five Ducking Digits, and I knew exactly what he's talking about. You like his writing. He's talking about ETH.
Yeah.
That merge shit. I think they're actually going to do it sooner than we thought. We all thought.
Yeah.
I realize right now coins are trending or whatever, but yeah, those JPEGs are much more palatable, much more fun,
right?
Much more useful.
And then think about this also, because I know, you know, you guys don't necessarily know this, but also just to kind of give you the investor profile of these women we're talking about. Very established, successful, college educated, Black women with extreme amounts of discretionary income available.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, just to play devil's advocate, hey, if there are certain types of projects that they tend to gravitate towards, they actually might not get hurt.
Right. And that's the other side of it as well, is that there are people who haven't entered the market yet who not only have the discipline, but the discretionary income to forget about the investment for a long enough period for it to actually mature into what it's supposed to be if they pick the right thing. Right. A lot of us, a lot of people, guys and people in the space who are on Twitter and, you know, stuff like that, are checking the price every day, every 5 minutes, every 5 seconds. There's some people who are like, you know, I just want to buy a Bitcoin and I'm just going to let it sit there. Or I want to buy whatever project you tell me is the one, and then I'm just going to let it sit there and I'll call you back in a year. I'm going to do whatever I'm doing with my life and I'll come back to it.
And I would even, you know, for the people even in this chat right now, use the analogy to art.
Right.
So we essentially have a new art class or a new art buying demographic, and they have a new way to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone just has to give them something good to buy.
Yeah.
Well, not even that. Someone, they have to win and then get other people to see that they're winning. Because again, you know, good is relative. It depends what kind of, I guess I'm getting semantics. I'm getting on semantic on the good part, because you can throw a dart right now, from what I expect, and you're going to be up in a month.
And so you have to compare it to their other investments, right? And it's like, okay, so, you know, compared to their real estate investments, And I'm just going to go on a little tangent right now, but I can't fucking stand it right now where I just keep seeing these girls buying houses right now. No guys. And all girls.
And they're flipping them. And
I don't even think they're flipping them. I think they're just buying houses because they're emotional and they can then make the move right now because they have the extra income. So it's like, well, I always wanted to do this anyway. This appears to be the level of this appears to be a metric of success
in Lancaster. Yeah.
Or Atlanta or Houston or fucking Gardena or Carson. And it's like, but at all time highs.
Yeah.
Right. At all time highs. And more importantly, just in reference to allocation of capital. Okay, cool. So we both have 20,000. I took 10 and put that, you know, into whatever. Or a DeFi project that 10x, 15x, 100x. There were like 10 that did that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now my 10,000 is now like damn near a million. Half a million. Meanwhile, her 10,000 that she dropped on that house is still going to be negative for the foreseeable future, depending on interest rate. And as they're raising them right now, anyway, this is like even crazier. So for me, man.
And you're winning the fights. Yeah, then you're winning the fights when you go to bed.
Right. Exactly. But there's the security of buying land and people. You know,
security of buying land. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm just saying, bro.
What security is there? Don't pay the property tax, they're still going to kick you off. Also talking about 30-year mortgages that no one's buying nothing for less, not paying it off in 15, 20 years.
30 years? Shit, niggas ain't even living 30. Yeah.
It's bro, the standards of 30-year mortgage. So it's not your house. That's not your house. You're renting it also. You just don't know it. You're just not smart enough to not know it.
You're still food. Yeah.
Right.
But this is, and so what I'm saying is when I'm looking at, you know, a lot of the men I'm around, they're also dabbling, but their focus primarily right now is in this space because this space is creating the most alpha or generating the most yield. Making the most fucking money is what it comes down to. And so, man, it's going to be very interesting to see how it pans out. But, you know, like we've always said from the beginning, like I'm imploring, you know, the females to join the crypto space. We need it. They need it.
We definitely need it.
Yeah, no, there's actually a good amount.
A lot of women in the space.
Too. Yeah, there's a lot at the convention. A lot at the convention, that's all. Of course, at the parties.
Yeah.
They're definitely marginalized in crypto, bro.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure. But I was surprised at who I saw going in and out. It was mostly suits or people who, like, not really. It looked like people who weren't really in crypto, mostly in NFTs. Not many crypto native people, but... there's a good amount of, it was a good ratio at the convention out front.
They're more efficient allocations, you know, more efficient uses of capital right now, as opposed to
those black people. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's a few women in the space. There's a good amount of women in the space, and you know, we might be underrepresenting them in our conversations. There's actually a woman who does sculpture. She did like a few like doodle sculptures and Basie sculptures. I don't know if you guys have seen it online, but they're really, really dope. And I'm wondering, like,
yeah, there are black guys in tech too. Like, dog, you know what I'm talking about though, man. You guys are funny.
I saw it, but I know there's not enough because I only talk, like, I'm only friends with two women who, like, I'm friends with them, like, who are in the space, leaving the space. And that's after like 3 years, you know, I've like follow or like have like social media contact with two or three, but like, yeah.
So everybody on this chat has hundreds, if not thousands, of girlfriends, if not followers. How many people, how many girls have posted something about crypto since you known?
Yeah, only the two that I know. Yeah. Then I met them in the last year.
Yeah, not a
whole. Yeah.
We both know hundreds. You know what I mean? And so it's like, come on, bro. Like, I saw it. Again, not saying that they're not there. Obviously,
they're coming in.
We just want way more for them, for everyone. You know, to not be stuck in U.S. dollars, losing 17% every year.
Yeah, so if you want to get back to that inflation conversation, it's 17%.
That's a slap to the face.
What were your thoughts, Mike? I know that you were eager to talk about it.
No, it's just a real number. It's a real number that people just don't really understand. And so to say it a different way to help like my clients understand that, it's like just viewed as like for every $100,000 you have in the bank, January 1st, you're going to wake up and that shit's going to only be $83,000.
Yeah.
Spending power.
They're burning. They're burning the supply.
They're burning the supply, literally. It's just very simple. And so we're going to see, you know, but everyone's screaming about the price going of everything going up, the price is going up, the price is going up. Not the price is going up, that it takes more US dollars to purchase that same good, that same service.
That value is going down.
So you have $83,000 of spending power, like you're 100, right?
Yep, out of your 100, January 1st of next year.
Yeah.
And so does being invested in crypto, because, you know, I've seen the the tweets and the memes that, you know, are like, oh, I started off with, you know, I started off with four ETH and now I've traded and did this and now I have zero. Like, you too can be like me. So, you know, obviously, and the same goes for Bitcoin and people feeling like, oh, you told me Bitcoin was going to go up. You know, like I had a whole fucking argument with my dad about the fact that I told him that Bitcoin was going to 100,000 and it didn't go, and he's mad at
me. It is.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But
what is the question? Because
the question is, what do you have to say to people like that, who got in a Bitcoin at, let's say, 46,000, 49,000, and they're like, oh, you told me that this was a hedge against inflation, that inflation, if I were to them, you know, looking at their dollars right now, they're saying that's not true.
So me personally, I would never tell anyone to get Bitcoin.
But not I'm not saying
let's start there, but I'm saying any
crypto.
Let's say Ethereum, okay, which is something that I actually have recommended to clients of mine. This is not financial advice, right? Mm-hmm. And so, okay, with Ethereum's up, bro, 200% for them.
Right.
You know, even our homie who, you know, should now not be named, was crying yesterday. I went to a visitor message. He was crying how he thought this shit ain't nothing. I was like, so what you buying at? Okay. Where is it at now? Okay. I said, so you're up 200%.
Right.
I'm like, that's outperformed your house.
Yeah.
Your Rolexes, your cars.
Yeah.
What else are we talking about?
What do you say?
Yeah. What was the response? That's the hard part.
The response was, to quote, I'd rather have cocaine.
What? That's quite a response.
I'm like, I don't know if that even still returns. I don't know what
that
returns.
Right now it does. The price is high.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
You know, I don't know the price.
But it's still very interesting to me, like 200%. So ultimately, the inflation conversation, man, listen, it really boils down to this. And it's 15 years of financial experience. This is the purpose of my job is so that to help people beat inflation. That's it. That's all I really care about. The whole purpose of investing is to beat inflation. If you look at some of the highest grossing hedge funds, they only get their clients back 6.5 to 8%. And I was like, damn, why that number all the time? Why that number? Where did that number come from? And I'm like, holy shit, actually. There is one number that kind of vaguely resembles that number on a negative, on an annual basis, and that's inflation. Mm-hmm. So their whole job is predicated around making sure they beat not the S&P.
The printer. Okay?
Not the S&P 500. Mm-hmm. No, that's for rookies. It's around beating inflation.
Mm. Yeah, and that printer is not going to stop. So... you said again last week. Oh shit! I mean, shit. We getting some printed ourselves, boys.
Oh yeah, what's up?
I didn't say boys. That sounds bad. We getting reparations. They printed for us.
Yeah, what's up with the reparations, man?
Black Californians that can trace their lineage back to slavery, chattel slavery, will be able to receive reparations. Confirmed.
Really? Yeah, man, that shit is going to be a junior college. Fucking
tuition. They said cash. Hey, they said cash. They said cash will be part of it.
So
we get we get a free license.
Yeah, like free vouchers at like Crazy Girls or something.
Yeah, yeah. I was like registration for a car, so when we pull over. Or
right,
shit.
Like what?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's what else comes along with that value meal?
Yeah. Oh, $100 weed card. Fucking like that.
Right, yeah, like what's in that?
Mike is thinking of some shit right now.
I'm just saying, like, some what is that, like that Dames and Games, like gift certificate? Like, right.
I know what you niggas love.
He just gave away crack, what is that? He just gave away fucking Pookie sticks.
Oh no,
Joey B, y'all, Pookie sticks. Mm-hmm.
That was part of the
package. What the fuck are Pookie sticks, dude?
Watch New Jack City, Chris Rock.
Here we go. The segue.
Yeah, let's figure out a way to integrate the slap into our conversation.
Here we go.
We haven't got there. Maybe somebody will make an NFT. I'm surprised it hasn't been.
Oh, they have.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, they made some tokens.
Flap tokens.
No, they came out with the Will Smith. What was it, Chris?
Will Smith Inu. My boy saw it when it launched. I saw people tweeting about it right after. Like, my friends went into it. And then what was it? Oh, our friend went into it. I think he was up yesterday on it, or yeah, 2 days ago. My dad hit me up. 24, 48 hours later, my dad sent me a DM. He's like, yo, some guy made like 100,000 off of this. You know about it? And I was like, oh, there, that's the way
they just didn't off the slap.
Bitcoins.
That's the life of shitcoins. Any event that happens in the world that's big, it's going to be on a shitcoin decentralized exchange within like 10 minutes after it happens.
So, did the DAO get in on the slap token?
Hell no. We're already in enough bullshit. We've already been spread thin, blah, blah, blah. I'm not putting us in that. If we had like,
We're not discussing the DAO's moves on here.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get a little window.
Yeah, he's trying to get a pulse on what's going on.
Yeah.
Post chain.
Hey, let's get it.
Mike.
I already know. I'm about to, when the post bag hit, I'm going to be like Richard Hart with like some spinning watches in the back.
Versace robe.
Yeah, like I'm going to just start do some other
like
shit.
Cartier, like fucking head wrap or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Some shit.
Oh, yeah. Four Cardi bracelets, like for real.
You get their Hermes belt, but you're not even wearing pants. You're just wearing sweatpants. They're nice ass sweatpants, though. You know, Mike got the cashmere or the Terry towel sweatpants.
Hey, McGoy just hooked me up on some nice Tom Brown sweats. Actually, man, very premium.
Really? That's been my wardrobe since Corona. I love us. I wore jeans for the first time this year, like 2 nights ago. on a date. And I was like,
this motherfucker put the Will Smith smack. That wasn't cool, man. That wasn't cool.
No, it wasn't. That was not cool.
That was not cool. It was hilarious and sad. And she has him on mind control for sure.
Definitely. That's just not a great situation for anybody involved. Before we wrap up, I just want to talk about the NFTLA thing. So it's some events going on. Chris, you said you might be going, and there's more like crypto themed like conferences and stuff. Do you guys foresee yourself going to any of that type of stuff like going forward?
I expect this year I'll be trying to go to as many as possible in America. Yeah. Was it the Bitcoin conference? I'll probably try to go to that. Not going in, like that's, you know, it's mostly just people meeting up in the cities. Yeah. I'd like to go into one of them, of course. I'd be down to go to that stuff or stuff in Miami. Yeah, definitely Miami. Whatever Miami is, whatever they got going on there, I'm probably going to try to go because that's Crypto City for now.
All right, y'all. Well, this has been another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison, from Mike Rese, Mike McGoy, and Chris Epps. Thank y'all for listening. We'll catch y'all next week. Peace.